I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to the Psalm 146 for our scripture reading this evening. The Psalm 146, and we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. The 146th Psalm, and beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. Psalm 146, please. And beginning at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live will I praise the Lord, I will sing praises unto my God, while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the stranger, he relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to all of our hearts. Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for our worship this evening. We thank thee we've been able to come with thanksgiving in our hearts. And our God, we thank thee for the messages and song already in our meeting. We thank thee for our brother that brought them. We pray that thou wouldst speak on to hearts and that thou wouldst bless even as we come at the end of our meeting tonight, and that thy voice might be heard in the midst, and that we might know that the Lord is speaking to every heart. Bless thy word, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want to look at verses 7 to 9 of this portion of Scripture here. When we come to preach the gospel, we will use many different ways. Sometimes we'll come with the warnings and tell people to flee from wrath to come. Sometimes we'll come and speak about the bless of heaven and about the invitations of God, and we will give the invitation to come to him. We can come sometimes to speak about the wonders of God's salvation, the peace and the joy and the blessing that the Lord gives to those that believe. And then we can speak about the hardness of sin. The way of the transgressor is hard, as the Bible says, in so many ways. And we can use all these different ways, and we should use these different ways. We have many strings to our bows as gospel preachers, and we can come at it in different ways. Indeed, the Lord himself used different ways of coming and preaching the gospel. We think of the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then you think about the times when he spoke about the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and gave the parable about the rich man and Lazarus and so on, and warned about the fact that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But what I want to say tonight is that perhaps one of the greatest ways that we can entice or invite people to Christ is to show the one that we are inviting you to. After all, if you were given an invitation to go and meet someone, or if you were asked to go and have a cup of tea with them or to have fellowship with them, one of the things that you would want to know is who they are. You want to know a bit about them. You'd want to know if you have anything in common with them. You'd want to know if there's anything that you could speak to them about or hold conversation about. You'd want to know if they're a kind of a harsh kind of individual or a very cold kind of individual. And the more that you would know about them that was enticing, or the more that you would know about them that was warm and friendly, the more you'd want to go and meet with them. And I think it's the same with the Lord. Because we're given this invitation in the Word of God, he says, come unto me. But of course, you'll want to know who it is that you're going to, who it is that you're given the invitation to go and meet and to be your Savior. Well, this is why this portion of Scripture is so valuable to us, because here we have a great description of the Lord and about the one that we're invited to meet. And I want you to see that in the last number of verses of this psalm, you have the name of the Lord in capital letters on a number of occasions. In the last four verses, I think there are six mentions of the Lord in capital letters. And of course, in the Authorized Version, where you have the word Lord in capital letters, it stands for Jehovah. So we have this mentioned six times in the last four verses, and five of those references tell us something about what the Lord does. You see what he says. Look at verses 7 to 9 there. It says, the Lord looseth, going to the end of verse 7, the Lord looseth the prisoners, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, the Lord raiseth them that are bowed down, the Lord loveth the righteous, the Lord preserveth the strangers, he relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever and ever, forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise the Lord. Sometimes in olden times, when a king was being announced, the herald would go before him and he would praise his king. He would announce the attributes of his king. And I think that with something like that here, as the psalmist announces the attributes of his king, speaks about his majesty and about the wonders of his being. And I want us very simply tonight just to think about five things that the Lord would have us a note about him. Five achievements, we might say. Five wonderful things about the Lord as we are invited to meet with him tonight. And I hope tonight that as we paint the picture, as the Bible paints the picture of the Lord, that it will be a means of speaking to you, and that maybe even some one of the things, or a couple of the things, maybe things that will just gel with your situation, will just reach down to where you are, and that the Lord will lay hold upon you by his grace and by his mercy. So let's just simply see the wonderful things that are said about our Lord here at the end of Psalm 146. And the first thing that I want you to see about the Lord here is that he is the emancipator. Look at the end of verse 7 there. It says that the Lord looseth the prisoners. Verse 7 and 8, they really take us to the New Testament, because you'll remember how in Luke chapter 4 in verses 18 and 19, remember the time when the Lord went into the synagogue in Capernaum and he was given the scroll, given the word of God to read. And you remember how he opened it at Isaiah 61. And this is what he read. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And you see how the Lord said that he was fulfilling that. Now, we don't know of any occasion when the Lord actually literally went into a prison and opened the prison doors. And we can see here that what, and we can see from the context here, that what he is speaking about here is deliverance from sin. And I want you to see that the Lord is one that looseth the prisoner. He is able to give deliverance to those that are in bondage. And perhaps tonight you're in mental bondage. Maybe there are those here tonight and you're behind the bars of a mental prison. And maybe tonight you're under the condemnation of your own heart. Or maybe you're cast down. Maybe you're in despair tonight. Maybe there's depression and hopelessness or anxiety. Maybe even suicidal thoughts. But I want to tell you tonight that the Lord looseth the prisoner. And maybe you've come here tonight and there has been that cloud that has enveloped you, even maybe in recent days. And there are those things that are embedded in your soul, and there is that accusation that comes against you, maybe from the devil, and you're in a mental prison tonight. Maybe you're in the very bondage of that mental prison. Well, I'm glad tonight that the Lord looseth the prisoners. He's able to take away the bondage of that condition. Thank God that we have a message of hope. There is hope in God. And I'm glad that he's able to give you hope. And the mental practitioners of today can do so much. But it is the Lord that is able to give hope in the midst of that which is hopeless. And maybe tonight that you're in that mental prison. Well, I'm glad that the Lord looseth the prisoners. But then maybe tonight you're in a prison of make-believe and false doctrine. Maybe it is that you're in that place where you've been told that it is well with your soul, and you're in as much bondage as the drunkard or the drug addict tonight, because you have that thought within your heart that because you've gone through the ordinances of a church, or because you are religious in some degree and measure, that it is well with your soul and there's nothing wrong. You've been hoodwinked by false preachers. You've been hoodwinked by false doctrine today. And there are those that come with the fabrication of doctrine, and they are leading away people with their false doctrine and getting people into that false sense of security. And maybe as you sit here tonight, you're in that false sense of security. Maybe you've been led away by the false doctrines of this day and generation. Those that come to say that the devil is, or rather the Bible, is a thing of the past. That the Bible has been disproved by science and all of these things. Well, thank God today that the Bible still stands. We know that the grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And I wonder what you're depending upon. Because if you're depending upon the thoughts of men, the philosophies of men, those things change like the changing of the wind. But thank God for the rock of God's precious word. Thank God for the truth tonight. And I would rather be dependent upon the truth of God's word than the word of any man, no matter how learned he may be, no matter how much credentials he may have, or how many letters he has after his name. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you need to come to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in the prison of make-believe. But then maybe tonight you're in the prison of moral infirmity. Maybe tonight you're in the prison of sin. The Bible says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That means you're the slave of sin. And maybe tonight you can't break the chains of that sin. We often think about the drug addict or the drunkard, but there are many sins, and people have been trapped in the habit of those sins. And maybe there's some old habit tonight. Something that grips you, something that has bound you, something that you've often said, I've got to stop that, I've got to stop going down that road. And yet you cannot stop, and no matter how many times you've tried to stop on your career of sin, there's something that keeps enticing you in. It's your old sinful nature that has done that. But there's a habit there, and the habit forms a character. And tonight, the chain of sin is round about your heart, and you can't break free from that. And dear friend, I want to tell you tonight that the Lord looseth the prisoners. No matter how much bound in sin you may be. And I'm speaking even about the drug addiction. I'm even speaking about the alcoholism. The Lord is one that has broken that chain before, and he can break the chain tonight. He can break the chains of addiction. He can break the chains of habit. He can break the chains of sin. But it's only the Lord that can do it. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But I'm glad tonight that I come to one who is the great emancipator, the one who sets the captive at liberty. And you can have that liberty tonight if you'll come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But secondly, we have another picture of the Lord here. I want you to see that he's not only the emancipator, but he's the enlightener. Look at what it says in the text. It says in verse 7, the Lord looseth the prisoners. But then it says, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. But I want you to notice something. If you have a good Bible, you'll see that the words, the eyes of, are in italics. What it actually says in the original is that the Lord openeth the blind. He not only opens the eyes of the blind, but he opens the hearts of the blind. Now, we have many instances, of course, in the gospel records of the Lord actually opening the eyes of the blind, maybe touching the eyes of some, or putting mud upon the eyes of some, or just declaring that men, women could have their eyes opened and the blind were set free, and thank God they were given back their sight. You think of blind Bartimaeus, who sat by the highway side begging, and he was in such an awful condition. And the Lord came along, and Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And remember how the Lord, passing by, just stopped with blind Bartimaeus and opened the eyes of that man. But you know that in many ways those miracles are often called signs in the gospel, because they're not only there for a story for us to hear, but they're actually signs of something that the Lord Jesus had come to do. And I'm glad that not only does he open the physical eyes of the blind, but thank God he opens the hearts and opens the spiritual eyes of the blind. And you know, dear friend, tonight you're in spiritual blindness. The God of this world have blinded the eyes of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. And I want you to realize something tonight, that you can't see. And maybe tonight you're here and you think, well, I have my handle upon the things of this life. I know the way that life works, and I know the ins and outs of the way that life is transacted. But I want you to realize tonight, if you're in your sin, that you see things through the filter of your sin. And that means actually that you're blind. That means that you cannot see things the way that you ought to see them. And you are spiritually blind. Now, you might feel insulted about that, but I want you to think about that tonight. What if what you think is reality? What if what you think is real is actually seen through a lens that is dim? You think of people that lose their sight. And oftentimes that sight is lost very gradually. And you don't see. You have to go to the optician, and the optician will test your eyes, and the optician is able to tell that your eyesight has declined from what it was the last time. But as far as you're concerned, you don't see that, because you've become used to the fuzziness. You think perhaps of the person that begins to lose their hearing, and for a time they don't really know, because what you do is you compensate. You get closer to the person that's speaking, or you turn up the volume, or whatever it is. You compensate for the fact that you can't hear. But you yourself perhaps don't recognize that your hearing is getting less, or your eyesight is getting less. You just compensate for it. And as far as you're concerned, your eyesight, your hearing is as good as it ever has been. And yet there has been a decline. I wonder tonight, If you will not recognize that perhaps what you think is reality is seen through the filter of sin. I read about a woman who got her eyesight back after many years. And the first thing that she said, "Oh, there are leaves on the trees." You see, for many years, all that she'd seen as a tree was a stump with a fuzzy kind of greenery around it. That's all that she had seen. But that had become reality to her. That is what she knew as a tree. It was only when she got her real eyesight back that she realized how fuzzy her eyesight had been. And I want you to ask yourself, is there a possibility that what you think is real, and you build your life upon that, and you build all of your hopes for eternity upon that, and perhaps, dear friend, it is not real at all. You're seeing through a glass darkly. You know how the Bible says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And maybe, dear friend, the problem is that you need to see things as they really are. Maybe you need to see self. Maybe you need to see yourself as you really are. A wicked, hell, deserving sinner in the sight of holy God. Not only do you need to see self, but you need to see the sin as it really is. You need to see sin as the wickedness that it is. So many people today make fun of sin, and they will laugh about the things that they've done at the weekend and the places that they've been and the antics that they've got up to. But dear friends, sin is no laughing matter. You need to see yourself, and you need to see sin. And then you need to see the Savior. You need to see the one who died on the center cross of Calvary and shed his blood that you might be redeemed. And then you need to see the way of salvation, that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. But I'm glad tonight that the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. Oh, that God tonight would step into your existence and into your life and open your eyes and get you a good view of things as they really are. You need to see it through the eyes of God and through the eyes of his word. You need to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You need to see the one, the Lord says, "Look unto me, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Dear friend, get a good look. Get a good look at the Savior and see the one who's able to deliver your soul. But then there's something else I want you to see. And I want you to see that the Lord is the encourager. It says, "The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down." And I'm glad tonight that we have a Lord who is a great encourager and comforter to his people. And I want to try to show you the Savior that we have. I'm glad that he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He gives rest tonight. He gives rest. He is the God who cares. He cares for you. He loves guilty, hell-deserving sinners. Maybe tonight you are bowed down by the burdens of this life. Maybe tonight you're in a place where you're crushed beneath the burdens that are upon you, the stresses and the strains, but the Lord raiseth up those that are bowed down. Maybe it's not just the burdens of life, but we think about the inward bothers of life, really, the things that are in the heart and in the soul. But I'm glad tonight that the Lord is able to lift the burden of sin. Jehovah raises them that are bowed down. Henry Morehouse was a noble evangelist many years ago, but he had a little daughter who was paralyzed. And one time he came home to his little daughter, and his little daughter had a present for her mother. Now, the mother was upstairs at the time, and the little daughter was waiting for her father to come home so that she could go upstairs and give this present to her mother. And she says, "Daddy," She says, I have this present. I'm going to carry this present to my mother. And the father says, but dear, you can't carry the present to your mother. You can't go up the stairs. She says, oh yes, I know that. But she says, you can carry me and I can carry the present. And you know, that was a great illustration of what the Lord does for us. He lifts us in his arms. We can't carry anything, but thank God he carries us in his arms and takes us to himself. I'm glad of the one who is the great encourager today, the great comforter. And he takes the burdens, the inward burdens of life. And maybe, men and women, you're bowed down by many burdens tonight. Maybe bowed down by the blackest of sins. But I'm glad tonight that the Lord raises up those that are bowed down. And if you'll bow before him in confession of sin tonight, he'll raise you up and make you a king and a prince unto him. But there's something else I want you to see. I want you to see that the Lord is an ennobler. What I mean by that? Well, look at what it says. The Lord loveth the righteous. Now, what happens when the Lord loves the righteous? Well, thank God he lifts them out of the mire and pit of sin, and he sets them among his family and among his people. And I'm glad tonight that the Lord is one that lifts up those. He ennobles us. He makes us kings and princes unto our God. We're kings and priests unto our God tonight. Remember how the Lord puts it in the mouth of Isaiah. He said, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to receive the heart of the contrite ones. Thank God tonight for that love that our Savior has set upon us. Thank God that it is unlimited love. Thank God there's no limit to that love that he gives. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. I'm glad tonight that it is unlimited love, that he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Not only is it unlimited, but it's undeserving. Thank God that it is all of grace. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and establish my goings. It is by grace that we're saved tonight. Thank God through faith. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It's undeserving love that he gives us. And then it's unselfish love, because he left the realms of glory, knowing his destiny. And he was wounded for our transgressions, and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And he lifts us from the very lowest pit of sin, and ennobles us tonight through his love and through his mercy. Oh dear friend, do you know anything of his love? Do you know that love that drew salvation's plan? Do you know anything of the grace that brought it down to man? Do you know anything of the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary? It is ennobling love. But then I want you to see that it is engaging. The Lord is an engager here. I'm thinking of the phrase there in verse 9. It says, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. And I want you to see, first of all, that the Lord here preserves strangers. Thank God tonight that God was always interested in the strangers. You know what it says in all the nations round about. We think of what God said. You shall neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And he told his people that they were always to look after the stranger. You know, we think of how we're to look after strangers today. You think of all the immigration that takes place. And I know that many of the immigrants stay in their own places, and perhaps in some ways bring upon them the fact that many people reject them. But nevertheless, as God's people, we are to have an interest in the stranger. We're to look after the stranger. And maybe tonight you're a stranger in this place. You're a stranger to grace and to God. You're a stranger to a meeting like this. But I'm glad that the Lord here is one who preserves the stranger. Not only does he preserve the stranger, but look at the next sentence. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. You turn in God's word and you see the way that God is so concerned for the fatherless and the widow. You look in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28. You look at other places and you see that the way that the Lord looks after the fatherless and he looks after the widows, those that are right down in the very pit of society, those people, the fatherless and the widows in those days, the orphans and the widows, were not people that were looked after. But I'm glad tonight that the Lord preserveth the strangers and he relieveth the fatherless and the widows. I'm glad tonight that he's a father to the fatherless and a judge of the widows. And thank God tonight that he looks after those that come to him. I wonder if you're here, his tonight. Have you ever come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? But look at that last phrase there. It says, there shall no evil befall you. Now, or rather, look at the way, the last phrase in the text there. It says, the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. You see, the godly can trust in God. Those that are saved here in this meeting tonight, we can look to our God. But it says, the wicked, he turns upside down. There's no blessing for you. There's no breaking down of the judgment that God has against those that reject him. And you come tonight and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. Thank God tonight for our blessed Lord, and may the Lord draw you to himself for his name's sake and for his glory. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy precious word tonight. We thank thee for the one who is our Savior and our Redeemer. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst come tonight and bless thy word and write it upon hearts, that men and women might close in with thine offer of mercy, and that they might be saved by thy grace and by thy power. Bless thy word to our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We'll close by singing the last hymn there on the board.